Today's scripture comes from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 3b through 13. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Son, through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like for you to imagine just for a moment that when you came in here, perhaps you came through that door or this door, or maybe you sneaked in around the corner through this door. But imagine for a moment that whatever door you came through, someone gave you a T-shirt and said, you're to wear this today because there's some good news for you. Well, you see as you put on the T-shirt that on the front it says, gifted for greatness. But you didn't get a chance to see what was on the back. And so the usher simply says, well, you'll find out about that later, but on the back of your T-shirt is how you're gifted. And so you come in here and you sit down and, wouldn't you want to kind of ask the person behind you, hey, you know, what's on the back of my shirt? How am I gifted? You'd want to know, wouldn't you? Well, we didn't give out T-shirts today, but I want to tell you something. When you leave here today, I want you to really believe this. You are gifted for greatness because, as Martin Luther King said, everyone who serves is great. It is in service that we do great work. Jesus said that if we, whoever should be, whoever desires to be great, do a good thing, serves. But you need gifts to serve. And the Holy Spirit gives those gifts, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. But when you leave here today, I want you to really feel special because I believe it. You are gifted for greatness. A couple of things about this. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says to the church in Corinth, I do not want you to be ignorant about the spiritual gifts. See, they had lots of problems going on in that particular time. They were comparing the gifts they had. They even argued about what the gifts were, about which ones were better, and so forth, so forth. So he had a wonderful opportunity to teach them about the whole purpose of these gifts and what they were and why God gave them and how they should work. And so he says, I would not have you to be ignorant about these gifts. And so he begins to teach them. Very briefly, I want to teach you the most important things that I can say about spiritual gifts in this brief moment. A couple of things. First of all, is every follower of Christ is united with every other follower of Christ in the one mission of the church. The second thing is that every follower of Christ has received a gift. The third thing is that every gift makes a difference. The fourth thing is that every gift is given for the common good. And the fifth thing is that every follower of Christ becomes a co-worker with God in God's transformation of this world when we discover and use our gifts. Those are the most important things that I can say about spiritual gifts and how we use them and the purpose for them. But let's go back up to the first one. Every follower of Christ is united with every other follower of Christ and the one mission of the church. Listen, in God's orchestra of grace, there are no solo performers. We do ministry and mission using our gifts together as one body. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, seven different times one is mentioned. Just as there is one body and one spirit, so there is you have each been called to one hope of your calling. For there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father over all. There's a sense of oneness that whatever it is, we do this together. There are no solo performers. You know, how many of you have ever been to hear a solo tuba concert? Probably not too many of you. But we've all heard the orchestra play, and in the orchestra there was a tuba. That's the church. Whatever we do all together. There's a sense of oneness about this thing. Now, each of us has been given a gift. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, simply says, to each has been given a manifestation of the Spirit, a special gift. No one person has all the gifts, but each person has at least one gift. And what that means is that the church can fulfill its mission because all the gifts that are needed reside in the congregation, in the body of Christ. And so it's very, very helpful for us to get this big picture that we each have been given a gift. There are no solo performers. We've each been given a gift. Each gift makes a difference. There was a drama teacher one time who was giving out the parts to this particular play, and they were posted outside on the office door of the teacher. Everyone went to see what part they got. But before they went, he gave them one word of instruction. First of all, play your part, whatever it is. Realize there are no small parts. There can only be small actors. Every gift makes a difference. I'm sure that some of you may remember a long, 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 long time ago, there were pump organs in churches. Well, the person who played the pump organ was very visible. In other words, you could see the person playing the pump organ, but someone had to pump the pump organ. That person was not seen, but they were given a gift. Just imagine if the organist went to play on a particular day and that person wasn't there. You're right. It would sound just like that. Each gift is given for the common good. Paul liked to talk about the body. Each member of the body exists for the good of the whole body. You see, my hand can do certain things that helps the whole body. My hand can't do everything. I have feet to take me places I need to go to do things. It works together. There is a sense in which every member has a gift to use that will build up the body, that will be good for, have a common good for all. All this is important. And then, of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it actually says that. Every gift is given for the common good. And then, of course, about how every follower of Christ becomes a co-worker with God and God's transformation of this world when we discover and use our gifts. The world doesn't need any more salespersons for the gospel, but the world does need some more free samples of what it looks like and what it tastes like. And so we come to this point about spiritual gifts, and I want to say this. They're not given for us. They're given for the good of God's work that is done through us, the church. And it's both within the church and beyond the church in the world. Now, very quickly, who knows exactly how many gifts there are? There are four different places in Scripture that the gifts are mentioned. In Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, and then Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Those are where the spiritual gifts are mentioned in the Scripture. Some people say if you count them, there are lots of duplicates in those listings. But if you were to count the individual ones, there would be something like 20 different gifts. Very, very briefly, try to commit some of them to memory. You have apostleship, you have administration, you have leadership and teaching, you have a word of knowledge, you have a word of wisdom, you have speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, discernment of spirits, and giving. And then you have faith, the gift of faith, the gift of miracles, the gift of teaching, the gift of healing, the gift of encouragement, the gift of evangelism, the gift of hospitality, the gift of prophecy. I believe that's about 20. But here's the most important thing I can say. In the scriptures, it doesn't really define what these gifts are. And so, you know, there's no set one definition for what these gifts are. And it doesn't mean that these are the only gifts. It just means that in that day and time, that's what Paul saw happening within the body of Christ. That's what he saw happening within the body of Christ. He saw these different gifts being used within the body. Now, don't become too dogmatic about the gifts. The big picture is simply that everyone is given a gift. And here in our church, our purpose is to help you discover your gift and to use your gift. There's many different ways of doing that. You know, if you had that T-shirt on today, one of the things you do, you'd ask someone, could you please read on there and help me understand what my gift is? That's one of the ways that we do it. We ask people, hey, how do you see me being effective and fruitful in ministry? What are you things you think that God has gifted me with? You ask others. You can take a test. Our church has a spiritual gifts test that you can take online. Persons that sit down and help you to understand what your top three gifts were. But that is very limited. The best way to do it is just go out there and try different things. Sooner or later, you'll discover something that you're doing that renews you. And, you know, I call it when four F's make an A. You know, when you find that you're able to be faithful to it, you're able to be fruitful to it, fulfilled by it, and you're making God famous rather than yourself famous. When you feel like you were born to do this, where you have a sense of passion, and of course your calling is where your deepest passion and the world's deepest needs intersect. And so a lot of it is through just experiencing, going out and doing things and trying things and getting feedback from others and being in a small group and helping one another figure it out. But our purpose here is to help you discover what your giftedness is and how you can use it. And then all these gifts in our church are used together for our church to fulfill the mission that God has been given to it. Now, let me tell you why I'm really passionate about this. I have seen people discover that they can make a difference. And it changes everything. In June of 1983, I was at Rich Square United Methodist Church. It was one of my last Sundays there. I was moving that year, an annual conference. I'd had a wonderful 4 years there. One of the blessings of my time there was a little boy named Tommy came to be a part of us. Tommy came from a very poor section of town. So the front door didn't even have a screen on it. He came from a very impoverished background. He didn't know much about anything, but our church welcomed him. They taught him. They got him a bicycle. He was about 11 years old. He turned around and invited his parents to church. He got baptized. His parents got baptized. He went to school. He was evangelizing people at school. Got in trouble for that. I had to come get him out of it. And he was a bundle of joy. And it was the best thing that happened to that church because everybody began to reach down deep and they said, how can we help Tommy? And somebody said, well, I can do this. And somebody else said, I can do this. Somebody else says, I can do that. And it stirred up all the gifts that resided in our congregation for us to help Tommy. And it was remarkable. I saw God at work in ways that surpassed my imagination. We found out that Tommy had a hole in one of his eardrums and that's why he couldn't talk too well. There was something different about Tommy, and we got him medical help. And through the Shriners Club, they had a free operation for him to restore his eardrum. And I'll never forget it. He went to church the next day. He stood up and said, hey, I can hear the fat lady playing the organ today. I mean, Tommy just stirred things up. And, you know, and everybody started reaching in and going, you know, I think I can do this. I think I can do that. And somebody orchestrated the whole thing. And it was a beautiful sight to behold. And here we were getting ready to, I was getting ready to leave and to say goodbye to this church. And it was Pentecost Sunday. It was the birthday of the church. And I was talking about the gifts that God gives us. Earlier that week, Tommy told me that he was going to quit the church. I said, quit the church, Tommy? And Tommy said, I know you've been so good to me, but I don't know if I make a difference. I tried to explain to him, Tommy, you made a big difference in our church. He was the acolyte. Of course, he made a real big difference because he was coming down the aisle and that flame was going sky high. I thought he was going to set the church on fire. But anyway, that disturbed me. Somehow or another, hadn't really helped him know that, you know, he made a difference. But I knew he made a difference. Because every Saturday during the summer, he and his dad would push their lawnmower across town to mow the parsonage front lawn. They would do that for free. And he did it all the time, he and his dad. So I thought about that, and I thought about what he said. So I went in the hardware store earlier, and I had a little collection, and I bought the biggest red lawnmower that was sold in the store. Came time in that service, following the sermon, and I said, today, I want a young boy here to know that he's been given a great gift, and he's about ready to receive it. Tommy, would you please come forward? Tommy came forward. He was scared to death. He didn't know what I was going to do. And then I said, bring it out. Tommy, here's your gift. And this the chief usher rolled out a red lawnmower. And he was looking at that lawnmower. And I said, Tommy, that's yours. You have a gift. And just because I'm leaving the church doesn't mean you have to quit the church. You're needed at this church. I saw a little boy just come alive. You know, he brought us alive. But he needed to come alive. He needed to know his gift. And so, boy, I tell you what, that was his gift. He was going to cut the church yard from here on out. He was going to be the head red lawnmower man. And so he said, yes, yes. And he told me right there, I will come to this church every Sunday. I will come to this church. I said, good, 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 good. So we finished up. I'm getting ready to go back to shake people's hands, coming out the front door. And I hear in the background, I went out there. Tommy's cutting the yard. And, you know, ordinarily I'd say, hey, cut that thing off. It's Sunday. We don't cut the grass on Sunday, but not that day. I just watched Tommy with that red lawnmower. That's why I do what I do. I get to see people come alive. Pastors are supposed to have the equipping gifts. I'm supposed to help you discover how God can use you. The equipping gifts are those that that help others be in ministry. And so today I want you to know that you're gifted for greatness. And our church will help you discover your gifts and how you can use them. Polly and I will be glad to pray with you today. Perhaps you feel like Tommy. If you do, come on up here. We don't have a red lawnmower for you, but we have a prayer for you. Let us stand.